You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Will I know when to start reading my... I don't know when to start. If there's no music, I don't know when to start. I think I'm live. I don't do very many of these video interviews, so I never know when the heck I'm on. All right, I'm going to just assume that I'm recording now. Let's just go with that. Okay, hello, and welcome to the Question Reality Radio Show. I'm Priscilla Leona, the producer and host of the show, and we are coming to you, I think I'm alive, live from Los Angeles, California. And for 14 years, yes, I looked like a young chick when I started. And now I'm tore up from the floor up, but that's all right. We'll get through it. For 14 years, we've been providing our audience with entertainment industry career advice. And this show is for you if you are questioning your career reality about pursuing a career in show business, or if you just want some tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to elevate your career status. And I'm sorry I'm looking over here, but I don't know if anybody else has the problem with us recording on an iPad and we're looking straight, but it looks like we're looking over here. So I'm not doing it on purpose. Now the guests on our show include Emmy Award winners, we have Grammy Award winners, we have Tony Award winners, we have reality TV stars, and just a whole wide variety of people that work in the entertainment industry, film, television, music, radio producers, directors. We got casting directors, we got literary agents, casting directors. I say that PR agents, talent managers, we have screenwriters and publicists and comedians and singers and novelists and celebrity makeup artists. And we throw in an entertainment attorney in December, or at least once a year. I try. Very busy people. Now, if you missed any of our, any of our past shows, you can listen to them. There are three ways. Number one, free mobile app. So you want to go to the App Store, the Google Play Store, and download the LA Talk Radio app. We are also on iHeartRadio. We're on iTunes. We're on Amazon Podcasts. We're on Google. We're on Stitcher. Just go to Google and type my name, Priscilla Leona. I'm all over the place, all platforms. Just Google me. Also, the archive page. You can listen directly from the website that you're on right now, latalkradio.com, and look for the show title, which is Question Reality Radio Show, or you can look for my name, Priscilla Leona. And a little itsy bitsy teeny weeny polka dot bikini favor, we would love for you to give us a little thumb. You know, everyone, we need likes and follows. The world has changed since, I'm not going to say when, but the world has changed. And now we all need follows and likes and thumbs and all kinds of crazy stuff. So please just Google me, Priscilla Leona, or Question Reality Radio Show, and go to our social media platforms. We're on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, you name it. We are there. So please support us with a little thumb if you want to. And finally, if you want to be booked on our show, you have to go to our radio show website, which is not latalkradio.com. It is questionrealityradioshow.com. LA Talk Radio is where we air the show. So go to questionrealityradioshow.com, go to the contacts page, just a little entry form, name, website, blah, 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 and submit. And we're on our way to having you be a guest on the show. It's just so simple. Now, the Question Reality Radio Show website is also where you might want to go if you want to take a look at the annual schedule We have all of our guests that are going to be on the show until the end of the year. And we have their profession. So, for example, if you want to be a script supervisor, you would go to the website, look at the dates and say, oh, I want to be a script supervisor. Ooh, we have someone coming on that's going to give me a whole bunch of advice, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. All right, moving on. In this wonderful world of technology, I have to read so much. The guest coming on, he has literally a dictionary. I mean, a dictionary full of credits. So we had to improvise. We had to narrow it down. I'm so excited to have him on the guest. Not only is he one of the most gorgeous men I've ever seen, he's like a little Viking god. I think he looks like a little Viking prince. His name is Vic Mignogna, or Mignogna. He is an executive producer of Star Trek Continues. He's a voice actor, a film actor, a music composer, and producer. And I would love for you to go to his site and give him a little thumb and a little follow. Because I tell you, we all need it. Please go. You can find him on Facebook at Star Trek Continues. And God, he's really all over. You can Google him as well. But let me see his sites here. What you got, Vic? You're all over the place. Let me see. What is that fan site? When I saw that, Vic. Oh, welcome to the show, Vic.
Well, thank you, Priscilla.
I was like, wait a minute. I got to talk to him because you've had a damn fan website where you've got millions of fans since 2005. I don't think I've ever heard anybody on the show.
Well, I appreciate the exaggeration, but there aren't millions.
Okay. How about hundreds of thousands? How about legion?
There you go. Legion. That's a good, scads.
Scads, yes.
Bunches. Actually,
what is that site, first of all?
I think you're referring to the Rizimbul Rangers.
Yes.
Let me let you know and your viewers know that many years ago, some fans contacted me and they wanted to start a fan club for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so humbled. I'm so grateful. That would be really kind of you. And we decided to call it the Rizimbul Rangers because one of the characters that I voice in anime is a character named Edward Elric from a show called Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay.
And Ed and his brother are from a little town called Rizimbul. So the reference is Rizimbul Rangers is a reference to where my character from Full Metal Alchemist comes from, his hometown.
Rizimbul. I wasn't sure how to pronounce that. It sounds like a dish. Of course, every word sounds like a good food product to me. But I was like, ooh, I think I'm going to let Vic pronounced that one. Now, let me just read your bio for people who don't know you, which I think there may be two or three in the world. But Vic was the executive producer and star playing Captain Kirk of the wildly popular and extremely successful web series called Star Trek Continues. Awesome. Is that the intro? Yes, it is. Didn't know. I thought
you nailed it. You nailed
it. Did I get Star Wars? Okay. So Vic is also a 20-year veteran in the animation industry with over 400 voice actor credits, which include Full Metal Alchemist, Dragon Ball, One Piece, Naruto. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Pokemon, Digimon, and Bleach.
Bleach.
I'm not familiar. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but are these anime projects? Because they sound anime-ish.
Yeah. As you mentioned, I've been voice acting for a little over 20 years, and the vast majority of what I've done is what's called Japanese anime. Anime is a certain stylized form of animation that is created and produced in Japan. Okay. They're very compelling stories. They have a very specific artistic style, animation style, and I've done hundreds of anime series, and then I've done a lot of video games, audiobooks, VOs for documentaries, could be anything. So But anime is the majority of what I've done. Japanese anime.
I got, they, I swear, I, who doesn't want to be a Japanese anime character? They seem like timeless, like they would never age. They're beautiful, beautiful, yes. Beautifully drawn, yeah. At least in the comic book. So, So who is your, I know you've done so many, this is hard to ask, but as far as you can remember, who was your favorite character and why?
Oh, you know what? It's not hard to answer that question, actually, Priscilla. I used to say, I used to tell, when people used to ask me that, if I were to go to a Comic-Con and was a guest there and I would do a Q&A session and the fans would say, who's your favorite character that you've ever played? And I always wanted to be tactful. Yeah. I always wanted to be like, oh, you know, maybe if this fan who's asking me this question, if they're a fan of a certain show, I would love to say the character that is their favorite.
Right.
But then that guy may have a different favorite and that girl may have a different favorite. So I used to say for a long time, oh, I could never pick one. They're all my children.
Yes.
And I love them all so much. And I have a special place in my heart for all of them. But once we finished Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, which was a second series on the Full Metal Alchemist franchise, I loved that show so much. And I loved the character and all of the characters that I had to just bite the bullet. And from that point on, tell everybody that Full Metal Alchemist and Edward Elric were the favorite, probably the favorite role I've ever played.
You locked it in to hell be damned if anybody disagrees. Okay. All right. Now, my husband and I, as you know, are huge fans of your STC Star Trek.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. And I guess the first thing I wanted to ask is, I want to say I personally, Albert is obsessed with Star Trek. So I have seen millions. He forces all these fan films and episodes upon me.
Good job, Albert. Way to go, Albert.
He's even resorted in bribery. So I've seen just about everyone done by so many people. I got to say that yours is the highest production value, the best actors, and just overall, everything is just so perfectly done. The sound, the makeup, the costumes. I mean, and all you have to do is just watch it yourself. I'm not the only one who obviously feels that way. So you have to let me know, is STC coming back? Because Albert is having withdrawals.
Oh, my goodness. Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for the very kind words. And you know what? I agree with you. I think it is the best one out there. I know that I'm partial, but it doesn't
wrong.
You know, I do. I know I have a, you know, I know I'm kind of a, you know.
No, you're right.
I know I'm kind of intimately connected.
Some of these damn things.
I know I'm intimately connected to it, but I don't think you're wrong. But let me say this real quick. The reason for that is because of all of the amazing people that we had involved in it.
Yeah.
We had wonderful people in every department of this production. And everyone that was involved cared about what they were doing. They took the time to make it as good as it could be. And I think it shows on screen. Oh, we didn't just slap something together. We wrote stories that we felt were compelling. We tried to pull the best performances out of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
We challenged our camera people and our lighting people and our makeup people and our wardrobe people and our prop people and our all of these people to do the best that they could. And I think everybody involved was so proficient at what they did. And I mean, we've got over 15 million viewers now. It's really funny. I got to tell you, Priscilla, it's funny to have been in the voice acting industry for 20 years and done hundreds of shows that were on Cartoon Network and Adult Swim and Toonami and Disney and on Netflix. And yet I get recognized almost every time I go to the airport to fly somewhere. I get recognized for Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek Continues. It's so funny because as a voice actor, you kind of fly under the radar, you know? They yeah. don't, a lot of people don't really know what you look like or anything. Right. You're not on camera talent. But because of Star Trek Continues, a lot of the people that were involved in it are recognized now out in public, which is kind of fun.
It is fun. It's unless somebody right. wants to like tear your clothes off or take a little piece of hair.
That has never happened. So
I remember that a lot of Star Trek fan films and shows a couple of years ago had been discontinued. And I think, I'm not 100% sure, this is where I'm going to leave it to you, but I think that it was because CBS was coming out with their own Star Trek projects. And I think they were kind of tightening the reins on all the fan-based projects. And then I think at one point they just said, you can't make anymore. And so I wanted to, because I've heard, can you clear that up? What happened? Why nobody could do the fan-based
projects?
Well, we don't know.
I can tell you. I can tell you from firsthand, you know, first person. Everything was going along very well. And by the way, let me just preface this by saying this is a very sensitive subject because there are people out there that for whatever reason, don't want to take responsibility for things that happen and want to try to rewrite, you know, the narrative. Hmm. But here is what happened. CBS allowed fan productions to exist for many years,
yeah,
way back, many years. But it was under the very, very clear line in the sand that you're not allowed to profit from Star Trek. I don't own Star Trek. The people that made these other fan productions don't own Star Trek. Therefore, right. we're not allowed to sell Star Trek. We're not allowed to make money off of somebody else's property. And that was fine.
Yeah.
Because 99% of us just wanted to pay tribute to Star Trek. Yeah. We weren't looking to make money. We just wanted to celebrate this thing that we loved.
Exactly.
And so that was fine for many, many years. At one point in time, and I don't want to name names, if that's okay.
No, name names.
Because these people end up coming after me, even though they know that they are the ones that are responsible.
Oh.
But some years ago, someone in the fan community started raising a bunch of money to make a Star Trek fan production. Nothing unusual about that, right? A lot of us had done that. Mm-hmm. The difference was that this person raised around $2 million. But here's the kicker. Never made what he raised the money to make.
Oh.
So they were there. Here they are raking in all this money under the name Star Trek, right? We're going to make a Star Trek movie.
Oh, no.
Where's the Star Trek movie?
Wow.
To this day, 10 years later, it still doesn't exist. And what happened was CBS basically said, you know what? This is my interpretation. CBS basically said, you know what? We've been letting people do this as long as they don't, you know, step on toes, and as long as they don't try to profit for themselves. But this is getting out of hand.
Right.
Now it's getting out of hand. People are taking advantage of our goodwill.
That's right.
And so they filed a lawsuit against this fan production. And one of the things that came out of the fan lawsuit were what were deemed now the CBS fan film guidelines.
Ooh.
Now, what that basically means were a set of guidelines. If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to fluster the wrong people, if you don't want to, you know, cause any trouble.
Yeah.
Abide by these guidelines. And the guidelines are things like you can't make something more than 15 minutes. Mm. You can't have anyone that was ever actually involved in official licensed Star Trek. You can't use SAG actors. You can't raise more than a certain amount of money. So these guidelines were put in place. And when they were, those of us that were in the middle of making something, I mean, I think we were at episode 8 when this happened. And we had a very good relationship with CBS. We were very respectful of them. And we completely acknowledged that this was their baby. And we were just celebrating it. We just wanted the more attention we could bring to Star Trek and to them. We were happy to do that.
Yeah.
And so CBS contacted Star Trek Continues and basically said, Vic, we understand that your long-term goal was to finish the 5-year mission.
Right.
Was to basically finish the original series, which, as your viewers may or may not know, was abruptly canceled in its third season of television. Mm-hmm. And so I said, yeah, that was what we wanted to do. And they said, well, wrap it up as fast as you can. And so we, our production team kicked into super mega ludicrous speed, high gear and hyperdrive,
warp speed.
And we created like the last 3 episodes as quickly as we possibly could because we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And so that's what happened. Now, I will say this too, Priscilla. I think you're probably right that there's probably an element of truth to the fact that CBS knew that they were going to be producing more Star Trek. They knew that they were going to be coming out with Discovery and probably Picard and Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks and all of this new stuff. And they probably felt like it would be a good idea to, you know, to kind of
pull the reins in on it.
Kind of streamline their license. So there's probably an element of that, but it was precipitated by a misuse and abuse of the goodwill that CBS had extended to fan productions and filmmakers for a very long time. Now, in answer to your question, is there going to be more Star Trek Continues? Well, there will not be any more episodes. But Priscilla, but here's the good news.
What?
We finished the original series of Star Trek. I mean,
we did
what had never been done. We gave an ending and a closure
to
the most iconic series in television history that never had an ending. I mean, if you think about Star Trek, think about Shatner, Nimoy, Star Trek.
Yeah.
What did Kirk say at the beginning of every episode? These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise.
To boldly go.
It's 5-year
mission to seek out strange new worlds and new
civilizations. Go where no man has gone. Okay, 5-year mission, right?
Yeah.
They were canceled in their third year.
And then
the next time you saw those characters,
was
10 years later in Star Trek, the motion picture.
Right.
And by that time, Kirk had become an admiral.
Yeah.
Spock had gone back to Vulcan. Yeah. Everybody had gone their own separate ways. The Enterprise had come back to Earth and gone into dry dock and been refitted. So what Star Trek Continues did is we picked up right where the original series was canceled and created 11 compelling quality, full-length episodes that finish the 5-year mission, return the Enterprise to Earth. It goes right into the dry dock that it was in Star Trek, the motion picture. And we tell stories to account for why everyone is where they were when the motion picture came out. So Star Trek Continues perfectly fills that space.
You know, I didn't think of it like that, but now it's all laid out. I can see that now because I'm thinking about the episodes of Star Trek Continues.
Yeah.
Yes, I see it now. Oh my gosh, so many of your fans who don't know that, oh, they're going to be so happy to hear that. They're going to rewatch all the episodes.
Yeah, so many of your fans, Priscilla, if they're out there and they don't know about Star Trek Continues, I have 2 really good pieces of news for you.
What?
StarTrekContinues.com. It's that easy. That's the first good piece of news. And the even better piece of news is it's all free.
It's free!
As I said, we did not make it for money. We did not make it for fame. We did not make it for notoriety. Yeah. We made it out of love and tribute to this show that we all loved when we were kids. And so you can go to StarTrekContinues.com right now and watch all 11 episodes along with dozens of behind the scenes videos and making of and blooper reels. It's all there. And also, Priscilla, I should tell you, and you and your hubby need to make plans to do this.
What?
The beautiful studio that we built.
In Atlanta, Georgia?
In Kingsland, Georgia. Okay. We rebuilt the entire soundstage from the original series, and Neutral Zone Studios took it over when we finished Star Trek Continues. So there is a new sheriff in town, so to speak. His name is Ray Tessie, and he and his group run Neutral Zone Studios, which is the studio that we built and shot Star Trek Continues at. It's also where about 40 different Star Trek fan productions have been shot. And here's the real exciting thing. Starting in about 2 weeks, one weekend every month during the cooler fall and winter months, down in South Georgia, North Florida, Neutral Zone Studios is going to be open to the public one weekend every month for people to come free of charge and walk through the studio, step onto the Enterprise exactly like it was at Desilu Soundstage in the late 60s. And I actually go down myself and give the walkthroughs and walk fans through and tell them how we built that, where we made that, how we knew where that was, how to know how big to make this, and tell them stories of our shooting our series and building these sets. And I got to tell you, if you have any love for Star Trek in you, it's like a pilgrimage to Mecca.
Wow.
It's like stepping into a dream. And you can sit in the captain's chair and look around the bridge and see what Shatner saw. You can step up onto the transporter platform and look around. You can walk into sick bay, walk into the briefing room. It's amazing. Walk into the engineering room, and it is all to scale within inches of the original soundstage and free of charge just to celebrate Star Trek.
And where would they find out when you are personally going to be?
NeutralZoneStudios.com. If you guys go to NeutralZoneStudios.com right now, you will see that September 24th and 25th is the first fan appreciation weekend. And I will be there. The next month, October 22nd and 23rd, Fan Appreciation Weekend, and I will be there. Woo! The next month, November 19th and 20th, Fan Appreciation Weekend, and I will be there.
Wow.
December
Christmas
17 Friday. And 18, Fan Appreciation Weekend, December, and I will be there. And going into next year, January, February, March, April, until it just gets too hot.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Can't be in Georgia for me when it's too hot. But that's exciting, Vic. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And everybody is welcome. You can go to Neutral Zone Studios to see the dates, locations, address, signups, everything. All
free. Oh, my God. Oh, well. I'm going to be talking this one into taking me.
I'm serious. You guys got to get down there.
This would be such a great, because November's my birthday. December's Christmas. I mean, come on. I got to get down there.
Get on your horse and come on down.
I'm getting on the horse. I'm going to beat him like he's a horse. All right. So along with Larry Nemecek, who I think was on your show, STC is Dr. McCoy. So one time, okay, so I consider you, of course, the foremost person, expert on all things Star Trek. But Larry is really, really good at everything Star Trek. So, So listen to this. So I was watching an episode of McCloud yesterday, and Terry Garr was on there. And happened to say, you know what? On an episode of Star Trek called Assignment Earth, that, you know, it was Robert Lansing and Terry Garr. He said that there was supposed to be a spinoff, but it never happened. Yes. And we were like, oh, my God, let's ask Vic.
Yeah.
I will
tell you this, Priscilla. Larry Nemechek has forgotten more about Star Trek than I will ever know. Oh. He is a walking encyclopedia of Star Trek. In fact, let me brag on Larry for a minute.
Okay.
When I started Star Trek Continues, I cast a good friend of mine named Chuck Huber to play Dr. McCoy. 1 month before we were supposed to shoot our first episode, we'd already shot a couple of vignettes with Chuck as McCoy. Yeah. And 1 month before we were supposed to start shoot our first episode, something happened. An emergency popped up in Chuck's life. And he called me and said, I am not going to be able to make it.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, my gosh, I can't even get the first episode back. Oh. So I had just met Larry Nemechek. I was living in L.A. at the time, and I said, Larry, didn't you tell me you really love Dr. McCoy? And he said, yeah. And I said, do you have any acting experience? And he said, yeah. And so Larry graciously stepped in at the last minute to play Dr. McCoy in our first episode and our second episode. And during our second episode, Chuck Huber approached me and said, crisis averted, emergency is dealt with. I really want to get back in if I can. And so I talked to Larry and I said, listen, Larry, you're awesome. You're wonderful. But Chuck was who I originally had in mind for this role. Right. I'd like him to come back in. But we love you, Larry. Yeah. We want you to stay involved as much as you would like to. And so Larry became our creative consultant. He became our on-set expert, and even though he was not on screen for 3 through 11, he came to our shoots every time we shot an episode. Larry was there. He was hanging out with the rest of the STC family. Everybody loved him. He'd shoot videos. He'd interview people, and if we ever had a question, we're in the middle of shooting something, we'd go, hey, Larry, what was the name of that chemical that they put in the blah, 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 and he goes,
and he knew,
so yes, Larry was absolutely right that they were talking about doing a spinoff series of Assignment Earth.
Yeah.
But it just never came to fruition. I don't know exactly why it didn't.
Why?
No, it never
did. Oh, darn. I love that Terry Garr. Okay. So my two favorite episodes of Star Trek Continues, I had to think because they're all so damn good, but I think I narrowed them down to Pilgrim of Eternity because it brought back Michael Forrester as Apollo.
Michael Forrest.
Right? Michael Forrest. And then Fairest of Them All, only because it has that line where, I guess because we get to see where Spock we get to see what Spock does with the advice that Captain Kirk gave him, which was, in every revolution, there's a man. That's my
with a vision. One man with a vision.
But then I saw your episode of Lolani. I'm like, oh, hell no. That's my favorite. So those are my three favorite. Oh, my God. So
you know what? Thank you for that. Pilgrim of Eternity was our very first episode.
Yeah.
And even though we got better and better from a production standpoint, we all kind of gelled together, just as you do. The more you do any kind of a TV show or a production, you get to know everybody and you kind of settle in and you know your roles and you feel more comfortable. I feel like every episode we did just got better and better and better and better.
Wow.
But even the first episodes, all of our episodes, the stories were always very, very,
very strong. Yeah.
Very thematic. Yes. They had a message to communicate. They had a point to make, which was what Star Trek was all about.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about Star Trek 60 years later because special effects were so great.
Right.
We're not talking about Star Trek because the uniforms were so revolutionary.
Right, you know, right.
We're not talking about Star Trek because the sets were so mind-blowing. We still talk about Star Trek because of the storytelling.
Right.
Because of the themes and the vision that Roddenberry had.
Yeah.
A unified world, which we need now more than ever.
Yes. Do you know that, I'm going to ask you, so you'd be thinking about this, I'm going to ask you what your favorite episode is. But before that, I just had Kevin Sorbo on my show.
I know Kevin very well.
Yeah. Well, he was telling us something that Albert and I didn't know, even Mr. Star Trek. He said, because after he finished Hercules, he went on to Andromeda.
Right.
And he said he was the first captain after Captain Kirk with a Gene Roddenberry script. I hope I'm saying that right. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's
what he said. I understand what you're saying, but I never heard that. That's quite
interesting. I am giving you some dropping some knowledge on you,
Ben. Now I gotta call. Now I gotta call Sorbo and be like, what? You never told me that.
Yes, if you listen to the he talked a lot about that. If you want to listen to the episode, but yeah, so we never heard that, and then I got all these texts from Star Trek fans saying, "We didn't know that. We didn't know that." So now you know that too.
Wow.
He was the first. So you know Kevin.
Yes, yeah, Kevin and I have done an awful lot of Comic-Cons together. We played golf together. We've had dinner together several times.
Oh, he's such a lovely man.
Good guy.
I love him. So now back to the question. What's your favorite Star? I know that's going to be really hard. That's why I'm asking because there's so many. All right. How about this? Forget the favorite. What was your favorite character that was not a regular character? Like no Spock, no this, no, you know, no McCoy. Somebody that you wrote in and you thought, you know what? Wow, I love this character. You just wrote the character in and they did exactly.
Well, what a great question. Well, first of all, let me tactfully answer the first question you gave.
Okay.
It would be impossible to pick a favorite episode.
I know. Yeah.
But the reason is not just because I played Captain Kirk in all of them, but because I had my hand in every element of every episode.
Yes. Yeah.
Like from writing the scripts to directing or choosing a director to building props to casting to makeup to wardrobe to editing to sound design to music to exec producing everything. This was my baby. It was my passion project. And I would be really, really hard pressed to pick a favorite episode.
Yeah.
I will say I have a special fondness for episode 4, which was called The White Iris. And the reason that I really loved that episode is because it shone us a light into a side of Captain Kirk you never saw. And I'll just leave it at that. There,
okay. You know,
Captain Kirk, I believe, had a lot of unresolved heartbreaks, issues, shame, loss.
I think so.
Guilt.
Yeah.
That kind of comes along with being in command and having to make command decisions sometimes. And the premise of that episode was that Kirk carries a lot of regrets and pain and loss and they all come bubbling to the surface, and he is unable to move forward until he deals with these ghosts from his past.
So
in that regard, that episode really meant a lot to me because it showed a side of Captain Kirk that we had not seen in the original series.
And that episode is entitled The White Iris?
The White Iris.
Okay. Episode 4, people.
Episode 4,
White
you
Iris.
Guys. They're all beautiful. And they're all beautiful in their own right. They all have a story to tell. They all have a theme. And so That's the answer to that question about favorite. As far as original characters, though.
Yeah. There were so many good ones. Like
we had so many guest stars that were amazing. Like Lou Ferrigno.
Oh, yes. I met him.
Played an Orion slave trader that we created for Lolani.
Yeah.
Lolani was an original character. John DeLancey played a council leader, high council leader of a planet in our ninth episode. He was amazing. Aaron Gray played a Commodore that we created. Mm-hmm. Colin Baker from Doctor Who played a chancellor of an alien world that we created. Nicola Bryant played an Esper with the silver glowing eyes. That was created for our two-part series finale.
Right.
Cass Anvar played an amazing Romulan
character. And do you realize how lucky you were? Because you were talking earlier about how they put those restrictions on you not
being able.
You got all the cream of the crop from the original episodes on your show. One of the very few fan-based films.
You know what? We didn't. When we were doing this, I didn't want to limit it to Star Trek actors. I didn't want to be like, we need to get George Takei and we need to get Walter Koenig and we need to get this actor from Star Trek and that actor from Star Trek. My thought was, let's bring in actors from other famous shows like Battlestar Galactica and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who and Buffy and Incredible Hulk and Farscape. And we had all of these great guest stars.
Oh, yeah. So you were very lucky. Now you're not going to be able to get them. Sorry.
No.
Now you got to go back and watch Star Trek Continues and see all of the people.
Yeah, I wish you would. I wish you would. And you know what? While there will not be any more episodes. Long since we finished the series, I have long dreamed of how cool it would be to make a feature film.
Yeah.
To make a Star Trek fan-based feature film that would take place in between the motion picture and the Wrath of Khan.
Oh.
In that timeline, there is nothing.
Nothing.
No one did anything in between those two
movies. Yeah, yeah.
And so I've always thought, and I even had some cool story ideas for it.
Mm.
But under the current climate and with the current conditions, I don't think it's something that we would be able to do. So I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed. And I'd like to believe in the words of Mr. Spock that there are always possibilities.
You're still a young man. You got plenty of years to go. You're still young. So I want to cover, because we only have like a couple minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about, I understand that you just did a book. Tell us a little bit about book, because I want to talk about the book.
I just did a fourth book.
A fourth book. Ooh.
When COVID happened.
Yeah.
And everything was just shutting down. Studios were shutting down. You couldn't go places and record stuff. And so fortunately, thank God, I have a beautiful home and I have a little recording studio in my home. I do a lot of music work professionally and recording work. And right around the time that COVID hit, I was approached by a couple of authors who said, hey, we're big fans of your voice work. We would love to have you do an audio book of this one book called In Plain Sight by Dan Willis. Dan contacted me and said, hey, I'm a big fan of your work. Could we work out a deal where you would record my audio book? So I did. I did it right here in this room that we're sitting in. And get up in the morning, make a cup of coffee, throw on my Star Trek robe, and record.
Why did you wear your damn Star Trek robe for the show? Now that would have been a treat. Next time I want the Star Trek
right. Next time you will have the robe. Next time.
Okay.
So that was the first one. And it was very well received. And I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I would.
Yeah.
And so after that one, another gentleman contacted me named William Hastings. And he said, Vic, I'm an author and I've written a book called The Crimson Spark. And I would love to hire you to do the audiobook. So I started on that right after I finished In Plain Sight. Then as soon as I finished that, I was contacted by some other people, a gentleman named Brian Peterson and his wife, Mindy. And they said, we're fans of your Star Trek series. And we know that you're a voice actor. And Brian is a celebrated author of multiple books. And so we worked out a deal for me to record his book called Paper Doll. Paper Doll by Brian Peterson.
Okay.
So those are three. And the fourth one is a book called These Are the Voyages. It was written by Mark Cushman, and it is an exhaustive, incredibly detailed book about the making of the original series of Star Trek.
Oh!
And it features a lot of different people and voices, some of which were actually there, like the late Dorothy Fontana. It literally features Dorothy reading her own excerpts from the book.
Wow.
And then people that have since passed, like Leonard Nimoy, his son, Adam.
I met him,
voices his dad's excerpts. Chris Doohan, who played Scotty in Star Trek Continues, voices his dad's excerpts. Grant Imahara, our beloved Grant, who passed a couple of years ago, who played Sulu in our series, voices George Takei. And all of our people voice these iconic characters. And when you listen to the book, you feel like you're sitting in the room with Gene Roddenberry.
Wow.
Telling you about, in his own words, about writing this and creating that and the difficulties with the network and the difficulties with getting this script done and this actor and these authors and all of the producers that were involved. It was just, it's an amazing book.
Let me ask you, how can people buy this? Is it on audible.com?
I was just about to say, yes. Audible.com, iTunes. Look up these four books. These Are the Voyages by Mark Cushman. In Plain Sight by Dan Willis. The Crimson Spark by William Hastings, and Paper Doll by Brian Peterson.
Oh, I like Paper Doll. I think I watched that as a porn film in the 80s. Okay. I want to talk
Paper
about
Doll, Priscilla. Get that one.
Real quick, we got 2 minutes. Give it to me in 2 minutes. I understand that anybody can have access to you via Cameo. If you want Vic to sing you happy birthday, I don't know if he does the Captain Kirk voice, but cameo.com, right?
Yes. Okay. So, yes, I'm on Cameo. And if you guys don't know about this, this is a website you can go to and they have hundreds of different celebrities and artists, actors, singers, people from different industries. And you can hire them to do a personalized video message for you.
Damn, Harry Styles is not on there, though. You got to find him for me. Damn.
You know what? We were just talking about Harry Styles at church today. He needs to get on there.
Oh, yeah, right. Maybe in about 50 years he will, because he thinks he's the wit now.
Maybe. But you know what? There are a lot of good people on there. And
there really are.
And you know what? It's funny you should mention that, Priscilla, because right now on my Cameo app, right here, I'll show you. Cameo. I have 3 video requests waiting right now.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm going to have to put my video request in. Real quick, Albert just sent me a message, and he wants to know, do you like the Orville?
Yes, I love
it. Last question.
Yes.
I love it. it. We yeah. love it.
Well, you know why? Do you know why? Because everybody in the industry knows that Seth MacFarlane is a Star Trek fan.
Yes.
Everybody knows that Seth MacFarlane was a big original Star Trek fan.
Right.
And
right.
he is literally doing what I did.
Yes.
Fulfilling his childhood dream of playing Star Trek. The only difference is he got a group together to make an original thing that they can charge money for. And we just made it out of love. So
I know. That's all right. Way to go. All right. That's the show for this week. Look at that hot, sexy cameo.com. And I don't know. He might put a little Captain Kirk outfit on you. Maybe do a line. I don't know what Vic does. But go to cameo.com and you'll find out. And thank you, Vic, for coming on the show.
My pleasure. And let me also say every Wednesday night on Twitch, I do a live stream with fans every night. Look up Real Vic Mignogna on Twitch, and I do a live stream, and fans call in, and we video chat and have a great time. We have a couple of hundred fans every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Central.
Oh, my God. Well, there you go. Vic Mignogna, I need you to take me out, Captain Kirk. Give me something that's Kirky-like, but not... Give me something.
You have been watching Priscilla Leone.
Leona!
You know what? Hey, you know what, Priscilla? You know what? I tried to do that without looking at your name.
That's all right!
But listen, I know someone named Sierra Leone.
Okay!
And I know another person named Sierra Leone.
That's so, all right! Hit me again real quick.
You are watching Priscilla Leone and Question Reality.
Thank you, Mr. Vic, you sexy little bastard.
You're so awesome, Priscilla. Listen, get your hubby to bring you down to the studio.
Okay.
NeutralZoneStudios.com. Check it out.
Woo! That's it. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye!
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leone, right here on LA Talk Radio.